Every day, 130 Americans die from opioid overdose.
Some of us are in invisible prisons today, even as we try to appear free.
Sales of alcoholic beverages are up 55% compared to a year ago.
I believe God's going to set you free.
Hello, friends. Hope you are doing fantastic. Welcome to another episode here on the Recovering Reality Podcast. I want to dive into something extremely important today. I want to talk about overcoming fear, understanding and overcoming. Before we dive in, I hope you guys had a good Thanksgiving. Gratitude's an amazing way to just knock the cobwebs off of our blurry vision, if we have any of it. Gratitude is it's a beautiful tool and gift and just way of life to see clearly. The more we can live grateful, the more we see clearly what it is we already have. And the more we can clearly see the grace, the goodness, the blessings we already have in our life, the easier it is to increase them. Because if I can't even spot my blessings, how am I going to steward them? And the more I remain grateful, it's just good. It's good for me. It's good for everybody. It's just good to say thank you for everything, as many things as I can. Just helps me see clearer. Helps all of us just see more clearly. So, all that being said, hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. And I'm believing for an amazing Christmas season for you as well. 'Tis the season to give. One of the amazing things about Jesus. Who else do you know that on their birthday, they have created the entire culture that they give you gifts? Jesus's birthday, his intention is to give you something, not get something. That's a king worth following right there. I'll tell you what. Let's jump into some of this, okay? I want to talk about understanding fear because it's paralyzing. We've all dealt with it, especially if you've overcome something crazy in your life, like trauma or addiction or abuse or a long list of things, right? That fear, that stress, that worry could just be, it cripples us, literally cripples us in so many different ways. And I want to talk about it from a spiritual perspective, give some practical stuff and some physiological stuff. And what I'm hoping for is that this just gives you a very, very clear perspective of what fear is, what's going on in our body, what's going on spiritually, how to overcome it. Because again, fear is paralyzing. It just blurs our vision. And when we can't see clearly, we can't walk clearly. Look at it like, you know, when me or anybody, you know, I've worked with hundreds of people in my own personal life going through all this stuff. When somebody is just weighed down in the stress and in the fear, it's the equivalent of having glasses on that are the wrong prescription. You ever put glasses on that are wrong prescription? They immediately start hurting your eyes, give you a headache. You can't see. Imagine trying to walk around all day long with the wrong prescription of glasses on. You would always have a headache. You'd be tripping over everything. You would never see opportunities in front of you. You would just be, you'd be thinking just about you, me. How do I navigate this? What do I do? How do I get past this? Why is this happening to me? Because I can't see anything clearly. You take those glasses off and all of a sudden everything becomes so much easier. I can lift my vision and put it on different things and see what's right in front of me far more clearly as well. I've always just seen stress and fear like that. You know, I got to get blurry glasses off me, man. They just screw up everything, trip over things that I would easily just sidestep, but I can't see them. I'm in so much worry and fear. We got to get it off us. I want to start here, okay? Fear, very simply put, okay, stress, worry, we got different names for it. Anxiety, it's fear. It's what it is, it's fear. Fear is hell's faith. It is the substance of faith. It's the culture of hell. It's the reality of the enemy's world. It's a faith. It's just faith in the entirely wrong reality, the entirely wrong world. And it comes at all of us. There's nobody that is exempt from having fear come at them. Nobody. And if you're struggling with it right now with some certain things, know that everybody has and does in some ways. And that even people that maybe don't struggle with it, it still comes at them heavy. All All right. But when we can see it clearly for what it is, we don't want to agree with it. We know how to navigate. But it's always made so much sense to me. It's a substance. It's a presence. It's hell's faith is what it is. And what I agree with, I empower. What I agree with, I grant permission to play out through my life. So being able to spot it for what it is, I'm not going to agree with it. And I know how to navigate it and get rid of it. And I wish there was a, you know, special way to make it go away in 1 second sometimes. It just doesn't always work like that. But when I can see it and I know what it is, at least I don't have to agree with it. And I know how to pray. I know how to navigate it, get rid of it much sooner than later. Because I've let fear and stress and worry stick around for long periods in my life before, even, you know, walking with God. Just sucks. Just sucks. It really, really does. There's no other way to say it. Okay. Let's start here though. Okay. Let's start with the solution because, and we'll dive into some things. Before there was ever a problem, there was a solution. Before there was ever any of this going on in our life, before a single problem existed in any of our lives, the solution was already there. And that solution is God. A solution is the presence and the reality of God in our lives. That solution is Jesus already took care of it on the cross. Now, it's really easy to be like, yeah, I go to church on Christmas and Easter. I get that. Well, what it is we believe is revealed in the reality of our life, not just what we say we know, is revealed in, if somebody truly knows God, they're not going to be intensely religious. It doesn't mean we don't go to church and read our Bible or go to a Bible study. It doesn't mean that. It just means they're going to be able to see the peace and the reality of God, the fruit, character, reality of God in my life. We all know many people that just go to church and you can't really see that in their life. It's not a knock on them. It's nothing. I've been that person. We've probably all been that person, okay? What I'm saying is this. There's a big difference between knowing about God and knowing God. Basically, the night before he was crucified during the Last Supper, this is John 14:27, said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." So what's the solution to fear? It's peace. When I'm in peace, even when the world is throwing stuff at me, well, if I remain in peace and trust and knowing God, I don't put those blurry glasses on and I can see. It doesn't mean the stuff won't come at me. It's a guarantee. It is 100% guarantee. The world's going to throw a mess at you. Stuff's going to happen. We're going to encounter problems that we did not create. Case in point, COVID. I don't even need to say anything else. We are going to encounter many things where there's patterns and things in our lives where we keep doing the same thing and we're creating the problem. We need to look at that and change it, okay? But also, we're going to encounter stuff in life that's not our fault. And if we get locked into the stress, anxiety, worry, fear, these things, we're not going to be able to see it clearly. And chances are, when we're not seeing it clearly, it sticks around far longer. Okay. We can remain in peace, relationship with God and peace. We're going to have far less problems, usually. And when they come up, we're going to remain in peace. So they're easier to navigate. Okay. Because when we get locked into fear, all right, like I said, what we agree with, we grant that permission to play out through our life. Okay. Now, here's some physiological stuff. Listen, our body's first response to fear is adrenaline hits us, right? Our body's first response is the blood starts pumping, adrenaline hits us, it gets us going, okay? That right there is what that's meant to be is a good thing. Fight or flight response. If our body perceives something, that hit of adrenaline hits us, so that we can navigate whatever the problem is in front of us better. Because the initial burst of adrenaline, our senses are heightened, our blood's pumping better, we're seeing more clearly. The initial burst is actually our body was created to that is to help us because we are perceiving a threat, and that initial burst is to help us navigate it, okay? An initial burst of adrenaline, our blood pumping, our senses heightened, when we perceive a problem, threat, something like that, there's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't hurt our body. It's meant to help. The problem comes in when we have prolonged stress, prolonged worry, and all of a sudden that threat, that fear, that worry, whether it's something we're creating that we need to take a look at, or something that we didn't create that came at us, regardless, when we allow the long-term stress, worry, and fear to stick around, it creates massive problems in our body. The number one cause of health issue, look it up anywhere. The number one cause of health issues is stress, chronic anxiety, chronic stress, worry, fear. It's the biggest cause of health problems. Okay. Now check this out. I'm going to read this paragraph. It's straight from, well, I'll read a couple of things here. This is right off the Mayo Clinic website. Cortisol also curbs functions. Cortisol, stress hormone. Okay. Cortisol also curbs functions that would be non-essential or harmful in fight or flight situation. It alters immune system responses, suppresses the digestive system. Now pause right there. That right there is far more important than many of us realize. And I'll tell you why. A lot of people don't know, but our stomach is actually our second brain. That's literally what it's called, our second brain. There's how, I don't have it in front of me here. I believe it's a billion. I believe our stomach has a billion neurons in it. Our brain and our stomach are connected, inseparable. Okay. Why do you think as soon as you have caffeine, sugar, as soon as you eat something, it changes the way you think? You ever been hangry? Then you eat and immediately it changes the way you're seeing things, and how you feel and how you're thinking? Because it's our second brain. Okay. And when we are in constant stress and it is affecting our digestive system, it is affecting the way we think constantly. And fear, it just gives fear a foothold to get in there. Because then when we have the prolonged stress, worry, and fear, we're having stomach problems, the enemy pounces on that. It just pounces on it. Because he doesn't fight fair. He's just a clown. He really is just a bully chump. He doesn't come at us almost always. He doesn't come at us when things are going really, really well. He waits till there's an issue. He kicks us when we're down. He waits, oh my gosh, they're having a bad day. Now do something. Oh, they're worried about this. Get them worried about this too. Oh, he waits till he could take cheap shots. Okay. And when we are in prolonged worry, stress, and fear, it's always cheap shots because we're not seeing clearly. We got the wrong chemicals pumping through our body. It causes inflammation. I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay. Suppresses the digestive system. And I interjected there. The reproductive system and growth processes. This complex natural alarm system also communicates with the brain regions that control mood, motivation, and fear. This is also here from the Mayo Clinic website. Long-term stress causes anxiety, depression, digestive problems, headaches, muscle tension and pain, heart disease, heart attack, high blood pressure and stroke, sleep problems, weight gain, memory and concentration impairment. When we agree with fear, listen again, I'm being redundant. Fear is going to come to everybody. It's coming. We might just see a little less of it if we're not constantly creating it in our lives, okay? But it's coming no matter what. The issue, the ball's in our court, though, is the issue is, am I going to agree with it and let it stay longer? Am I going to empower it? Because what I agree with, I empower. What I agree with, I allow to stay in my life. I grant it permission to play out through my words and actions. I grant it permission to stick around. I don't want that. I've done it before. I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want anything of it. Because when we do that, when we're partnered, again, let me break it down a little bit more, okay? Fear is the faith of hell. It causes all those things in our life. And when it's prolonged, it just gives the enemy more opportunity to just come at us in so many different ways because we're not seeing, thinking clearly. He's cheap shot us, right? But look at it like this too. The fruit of it is, my gosh, people who are always in stress, what do you see in their lives? They are bitter. They're angry. Most people who are constantly stressed are far more judgmental, far bigger propensity to gossip. And gossip is just evil. It's just pure evil. Quick side note on that. Pay attention to people that you're around and how they talk about other people. Because they're talking the same way about you when you're not around. They are, okay? And I just, ever since the very beginning of walking with God, I'm allergic to people who are always speaking negative around people. I don't want to be around it. I don't want to hear, you know, a simple tip for that. If you're around people that are always gossiping and you don't want to be a part of it anymore, just ask them point blank. They come up and they say, oh my gosh, so-and-so is da 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 da. I just say, have you talked with that person yet about that? I say, well, no. And I say, well, so why are you talking to me about it? Just shuts it down like 90% of the time. Just shuts it down. I don't want to participate in any of that. Okay. Now, we painted a pretty clear picture of fear, what it is, what it does to us, how it gets a foothold on us. And just, you know, we're much more susceptible to doing things we really wouldn't do, especially when prolonged fear, just the culture of hell. And just, I mean, does anybody want what I just described in their life for a long period of time? I sure don't. No, thank you. Now, remember, peace I leave you. My peace I give you. The gift of peace in a chaotic and crazy world, especially this one right now. I do not give as the world gives. It's an internal peace. It's an empowering peace. It's a calm in the storm. It's a, the world might be freaking out all around me, but I'm not. I'm not, because I know peace. It's a person, the Prince of Peace. It's not a religion. It's a person. It's a relationship. So we painted a clear picture of all that. Okay. We started with peace for a reason. All right. Let's switch gears a little bit and let's talk about what faith looks like. Okay. What does it look like to stomp out fear? Now let's start here specifically with the physiological part of it. Okay. Cause I love this part. Those of you that have listened to my podcast know I've had multiple people on. Dr. Carolyn Leaf. She's great. You can find her podcast. I think I titled it Cleaning Up Your Mental Mess. It was right after she dropped her book, which is awesome. And then I've had my friend, educator of neuroscience, Stacey Danford, on 3 times. And we talk about a lot of this stuff, chemicals, right? We want the happy chemicals in our body. We want the right ones. And the more I learn about the happy chemical, the more I learn about the right way to think and how it triggers the right chemicals in us, the more I realize, man, God really knows a thing or two about science. Because all the chemicals in what you do to activate them, they all line up with the biblical, they're all biblical, every single one of them. God gave us the blueprint a long, long time ago. If you want to hear a whole bunch more about that, go dig into the episodes with Stacey Danford. We talk all about it, okay? But let's jump into this one here. How many of you have heard of the feel-good chemical dopamine, right? This is a dope that I want. I want a whole bunch of this dope running through my body, okay? This is, forgive me, I don't have a degree in this or anything. I've studied a lot about it, and I think I can safely say I do know a lot about it, but I don't know all these big fancy words. I didn't go to school for it. I just talked to a lot of people that did and read a lot about it. But it's a neurotransmitter produced by a word I can't pronounce or probably wouldn't pronounce clearly, which is a small region of the brain that helps you feel pleasure. It's part of your reward system. Okay. What dopamine does is it releases when you accomplish a task, when you have a goal and accomplish it. So you set out a goal. Now, follow me through, okay? The Bible says, without a vision, my people perish, okay? But happy is he who follows the law. And it's the law being just God's guidelines, right? And what he's calling us to do, okay? But just hear me out now. We get a vision. We get a word. We get something God's calling us to do, okay? Immediately, there's an attack in your life. So you set out to start a business. Immediately, something happens, hits your finances. You set out to get back in shape. You're out of shape, overweight, whatever. You set out to do it. Immediately, something happens where you can't get encouraged. It's totally paradoxical, but I'm telling you, be encouraged. Because what happens when we understand this, we get hit with something, and all of a sudden now we're like, oh my gosh, why me? And all the worry and fear and the wrong chemicals in our body and the lies we're believing now. But when we say no, This is a hiccup here. This is just a hurdle. This isn't, I'm not toast here. This isn't a, you know, forever roadblock. I'm going to get right around this. All of a sudden, dopamine is pumping through your body because it is the chemical, the feel-good chemical in our body that gets pumping when we are accomplishing tasks, when we are finishing the goals that we started, right? And it helps us with movement and motivation. That's what it does to us. It makes us feel good. Okay. But listen, it's going to be a battle for that thing because the enemy wants you with cortisol pumping through and adrenaline, constant worry and fear and stress and epinephrine, all these other things slow you down and annoy you and get you seeing blurry. But when you have a vision, you're walking towards it, excuse me, and you're trusting God, now dopamine's pumping through your body. And even if something comes at you to get in the way, it doesn't stop you because you have a clear vision. You're not going to put those blurry glasses on. You're going to walk through it and continue to trust God and have the right chemicals pumping through your body, which empower you to finish the task, which empower you to trust Him more, which empower you to see clearly in the midst of it. Next one, serotonin. Serotonin is another neurotransmitter produced when you feel satisfaction or importance. Satisfaction, accomplishing things, doing the right thing in moments where you can do the right thing, but you don't. You do the right thing. It's the chemicals pump. Many antidepressant medications are selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors that boost levels of serotonin. Serotonin helps us sleep better. It helps a long list of things. Look it up, serotonin. It also is drugs like, gosh, cocaine, ecstasy. There's a long list of drugs, meth, these different things. They get your serotonin pumping, artificially creating more of it in your body and screwing things up big time. But when you are seeing clearly, when you are walking in the right direction in healthy relationships with people, okay, and you are feeling the satisfaction and importance of accomplishing something, being part of something that's bigger than you, refusing to get tripped up by stuff that comes in your way and continuing to walk like that, there's continually dopamine and serotonin pumping through your body, which empower you to accomplish the task at hand. Oxytocin is a hormone produced by the and released by the pituitary gland that produces feelings of love and connection. It's known as the love hormone. Okay. We get isolated. We isolate ourselves. Okay. We get stressed, worried, and fear. We start isolating, right? The wrong chemicals. Tachykinin is one of them. It's the wrong one. We talked about it at length on one of the episodes with Stacey Danford. It just attacks us and destroys us. It tricks our brain into thinking that isolation is a good thing. It keeps us in the wrong space. It keeps us thinking we're not worthy. We're not loved. We shouldn't be around people. It's the wrong chemical pumping through our body. Oxytocin is the literal tachykinin is the kryptonite. Okay, and oxytocin is what defeats it. Completely defeats it. All right. It's paradoxical. When we get in those moments where we're isolated, worried, stressed, in fear, whatever, the answer is to get around people. The answer is to get moving. The answer is to connect with God and get into action, moving towards what He's calling you to do. And it's extremely paradoxical because oftentimes when we're partnered with fear and worry and stress and these things, it's telling you to do the exact, you can't do it. Nobody loves you. You're never going to accomplish it. Look what happened last time. Why are you even trying? So-and-so didn't call you because they don't want to hang out with you. So-and-so, whatever. Wrong chemicals pumping through our body. We agree with it. Gives the enemy a foothold. We fight through that in faith because we have a vision and we're able to see the bigger picture. And we're able to move in faith even when we're not maybe necessarily feeling it in the moment. It immediately begins to counteract the wrong chemicals and we start feeling different almost immediately. Oxytocin is one of those biggest ones. And the biggest release of oxytocin comes into our body when we are in relationship with people, connection to people, talking with people, working with people, partnered with people, working on relationships. Oxytocin is pumping through our body and is extremely good for us. All right. Endorphins, last one here. Endorphins are an opioid peptide produced by that same big word in the pituitary glands that operate as neurotransmitters. Yes, your body has natural opioids pumping through your body. They trigger positive feelings when you do something you enjoy, such as having sex, hopefully when you're married, laughing or exercising. They also stimulate pain relief, which is the same reaction that occurs chemically when taking prescription opioids. The euphoric feeling endorphins produce helps mask pain. You have natural opioids in your body, and they are released when we stay in this place of faith, connection to God and people. endorphins. We have natural painkillers in our body. Natural. Now I get it. Our natural painkillers maybe don't pump like taking three, Percocets or whatever, fentanyl, whatever's on the street these days. Thank God I'm not out there anymore, because I probably wouldn't live through it with everything that's out there these days. It's crazy. it's the same thing when we take, painkillers, alcohol, pornography, addiction, these same things. It's very deceptive, because they get these feel-good chemicals pumping in our body, but they produce them in the wrong way, which wears out the production system, and they get us, and there's a sharp, swift crash right after, which gets us feeling terrible. It's very deceptive. I want to feel better. Take da-da-da-da-da, whatever. Immediately, it actually does begin to produce these chemicals, dopamine, serotonin, oxytocin, endorphins in our body in mass production, and then it burns it out, and immediately we crash after, and immediately we're in stress, worry, and fear, okay? But when we have the vision connected to God, connected to people, and we're walking towards it, we have a continual slow drip, if you will, of endorphins, oxytocin, and serotonin that keep us on the right path, walking in the right direction. Now you say, well, you don't understand what's going on in my life, Eric. I can't break free from fear. First of all, oftentimes us saying, I understand what you're saying, but you don't understand what's going on in my life. Oftentimes that's a victim mentality. It's just got to go. I would highly encourage listening to, Breaking Free from Rejection, or Bouncing Back from Rejection, or Breaking Free from the Victim Mentality. I think Stacey Danford and I talked about it at length. And look, I've been in that space of, yeah, but you don't understand how bad, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know, maybe I don't, but I've been through a hell of a lot myself. I'm telling you right now, it doesn't matter. It can be overcome. That's not to make light of it. Be like, well, whatever, just get over it. No, I'm not saying that. It's real. It's legit. I've worked with a lot of people, a lot. And I've heard some stories. Okay. People go through some stuff, some crazy, crazy stuff. I get it. But I'm telling you right now, it can be overcome. It can be overcome. Oftentimes the initial place for that is forgiveness. And I won't dive, forever into that, but unforgiveness, it causes that. It causes fear, worry, stress. It causes all that, all the wrong stuff to be pumping through our body. But we can step into the place of forgiving and move into this place of faith. We're into this place of recognizing fear and saying, I'm not doing it. I'm not agreeing with fear. I'm getting rid of that. Okay. When we're able to spot it, and say you're in a place too, you're able to spot it, but you can't get rid of it. All right. Just a couple of real simple tips. I would say just be relentless in prayer. It sounds, and pray the right way. Pray for it to go. Pray for God to empower you to overcome it. Don't pray like, pain, anger for instance, like, Don't pray for anger management. Why do you want to manage your anger? Don't pray for stress management. Like, why do you want to manage it? Okay, I understand it comes and learning how to navigate it, get rid of it. I get that. But what I'm saying is, like, we got to get rid of this perspective of this is just the way it is. It's going to be here. I need to learn how to accommodate it. No, it doesn't have to be there. It doesn't. Even when it comes and hits us, it doesn't have to stay forever. It doesn't. It's the wrong reality. I'm not going to agree with it. Okay, I'm not going to do it. And I'm just not going to cater to that thing that says, oh, it's okay. Let's just teach you how to, if I agree with fear and I'm just always going to live with a level of this. It's the equivalent of just cooking dinner and leaving a space at the table, leaving an empty chair for fear. It's okay. I cooked a little extra for you. You can sit down. I don't really want you here, but I'll accommodate, because you're probably never going to leave. So I'll just figure out how to navigate it. I've already agreed that it's staying. I mean, the first thing is you got to break. You got to believe it could go away. And once I believe it could go away, then I can stay in that space. I can stay in that space of saying, all right, God, how is it we live free from this? How is it we get rid of it when it hits? And I'm telling you, the biggest thing, the most beneficial thing for me in overcoming fear was learning how to seek the presence of God. Meditate. Spend time in prayer with God. Worship music, sit alone. Peace is not this kind of obligatory blob that creeps into our life when we do the right thing. Peace is a person. It's the presence, the Prince of Peace. It's the presence of Jesus, the presence of God in our lives. When that is near, fear will come at us. Peace is there. Peace is there, right in the middle of it. The storm could be raging, but it's not raging where I am. It's not raging where I am because the Prince of Peace is right here. That in and of itself, learning how to spend time with God and host God's presence is a radical game changer, all right? A step past that, you know, if it's something you're really, really struggling with, you got to get help. You got to process this with somebody. You got to do it. You got to find someone. It might just be a friend over a cup of coffee, okay? It might just be maybe someone at your church, maybe someone in your recovery group. Maybe you go get a therapist. Maybe you hire a coach that knows how to break you free from it. Maybe whatever it is, you got to bring somebody else in. You need some more strength in there, okay? You got to process it, and you got to help someone. You got to get with someone that can help you spot the lies and process and get rid of that stuff, okay? And then it's a matter of being able to, every single day, manage your thinking, manage stuff that's coming at you, manage understanding how to spot it. And, you know, the best way that I continually do that is I get in the Word every single day. First, I wake up every day and I pray and I get in the Word and I journal every single day. Life's going to throw stuff at us every day. And if I can get my feet on solid ground before anything comes at me, man, I'm a leg up on all of it. I'm a leg up on all of it because I can't control everything that comes at me, but I can certainly control how I respond to everything. Okay. Initially, you got to really decide if you want to agree and believe that it's just always going to be that way. As soon as you decide it doesn't have to be this way, wait, you mean I can really be free from this? Yes, you can. You got to get some help. Somebody, something. Okay. And you got to process this for a season, begin to pray and identify stuff. Attack it in faith. Attack hell's faith with heaven's faith. Attack fear with faith. You got to begin to go right at it. Reading. Go find a really good book on it, all right? Journal about it. Be open, vulnerable, and honest with somebody who you can trust, who helps you break free from this and teach you the tools to stay free from it, okay? And now I'll end with this, all right? The Bible, it says in it, do not fear 365 times. That's one reminder every day. Hey, don't do it. Don't fear. You might have legitimate reason to. Life throws crazy stuff at us, but don't do it. Because when you partner with that, like we talked about, this screws everything up, okay? It doesn't mean fear is not real. It doesn't mean it won't come. It will. What I'm telling you is don't partner with it. Don't agree with it. Don't partner with it. Doesn't make it go away. Snap your fingers, okay? But it helps us see it more clearly. It helps us push it back by partnering with God in prayer, reading, writing, talking with people, getting out of a sustaining community, right? We talked about that. It's all the right chemicals pumping through our body. We're going to see much clearly when we got the right chemicals pumping through our body. It's much easier to partner with faith, all right? And let me say this too, okay? This verse here, Isaiah 26:3. It says, the steadfast mind, okay? What are we agreeing with in our thinking? What am I agreeing with? What I agree with, I grant that permission to play out through my words and actions. What is it I'm agreeing? I refuse to agree with fear. It's going to come, but I will not agree with it. Okay? Steadfast mind. The steadfast of mind, you will keep in perfect peace. When you're in peace, you don't have those blurry glasses on. You will keep in perfect peace because he trusts you. When we trust God, it helps us see more clearly. When we trust God, it enhances our vision. When we trust God, we stay in relationship with people. When we trust God, fear will come, but we don't agree with it. Trust in the Lord forever, for in God the Lord, we have an everlasting rock. The very last thing that Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount is he talked about, you're going to build your house. You're going to build your house on the sand, or you're going to build your house on the rock. The storms of life are going to come. You're going to build your house on shaky foundation, or you're going to build your house on a firm foundation. Fear is going to come. But what our house, what our life looks like after the storm comes reveals the foundation we built it on. because if it was built on sand, and he used the analogy of sand and rock for a reason, because sand is rock. It's just busted up, broken, compartmentalized, fractured, fragmented rock. That's what it is. Okay. Rock, the rock, is not fragmented. It is not broken. It is solid ground. Fear will come. But when I remain on that solid ground, hosting the presence of God, I don't agree with it. And the storms of life come. But when the storms come, if I built my house on the sand, I'm going to have to build a whole new house. Okay. Or massive, massive remodeling. If I built it on the rock, I'm just going to have to go out and like pick up some shingles off the ground and blow off the roof and, you know, maybe a paint job or pick up some branches or something, right? Maybe a little bit of repair, but it didn't attack the foundation, the structure of the house at all. So I just encourage you, do you want to agree with fear? Do you want it there or do you want it gone? Do you want to agree with stress and the worry and anxiety? Because man, I was going to say turn on the news, but don't actually do that. Let me just throw that in there. If you're watching the news all the time, just stop and your peace will increase instantly. But I was going to say, like, just go out into the world for 1 second. There's a million things that are going to make us stress and worry. Not going to agree with it. Not going to do it. It'll come, but I'm going to disagree with it. I'm going to keep my feet on that firm rock. I'm going to stay in relationship with people when it comes, not if, when, because it'll try. When it comes, I'm going to write about it. I'm going to pray about it. And if it's something that I can't shake, I'm going to talk to people about it. I'm going to process it out of my life. Remaining in faith will position you for constant increase. Remaining in fear will put us in a place where we're always paralyzed and feel like we're not getting where we want to go. Quicksand, okay? And it's connection and relationship to God and staying rooted and grounded in that place that empowers us to constantly overcome the fear that comes at us.
Thanks for joining us on the Recovering Reality Podcast. If you're looking for more recovery resources to help you in your journey, you can access our YouTube channel, a free ebook, our podcast and blogs through recoveringreality.com. You can also connect with us about recovery coaching, sober companionship, or interventions. And if you're looking for treatment for you or a loved one, you can reach out to a very well-respected treatment center called Banyan Treatment Centers at 866-942-8154.